Praise God. We're glad about that. Letting our light so shine. God has been kind and has been loving in so many ways. And one of the ways is that he has blessed us with life, health, and strength. That we might, among many things, we might have the golden privilege of coming together to worship him in spirit and in truth. And also, living according to his will and according to his words, his mandate. He says, I'll bring you home to live with me forever. I don't believe that we can find a better offer from anyone or from anywhere. Let us continue to gladly take advantage of that golden opportunity. We have sang songs of praise and offered up our thanks to him and commemorated his death, the Son's death, burial, and resurrection as we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. And now to hear a word from the Lord himself. In your Bibles, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I'd like to read a few verses from that text. Commencing with verse 39. Luke chapter 22, commencing with verse 39. And he came out, Jesus, as he was wont or accustomed, went to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, also following him. And when he was at that place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he himself went a little bit further, about a stone's throw from them, kneeled down and began to pray. This is his last, his few hours before going to court. And he was withdrawn, reiterating, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you please, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He's going to court, and he knows the inevitable, and he knows what's going to happen. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, you do what's best. Not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared, isn't this exciting, this part? There appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Did you read that as I read it? He prayed on planet Earth to his Father. And immediately there appeared an angel from heaven to strengthen him. We can hardly see the moon, but the angel came from heaven instantly. Oh, church, what a God we serve. And being, verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, why are you sleeping? Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a crowd, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, even one of his apostles, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, Jesus knew what he was doing. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? A defining moment. We have times as we go from day to day. There are times in our lives when we are stressed, pulled upon, called upon to do that which is challenging. Sometimes it knocks us to our knees. And we call out to our Heavenly Father. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he began his prayer. Why? Because it began to weigh heavily upon him what was about to happen in his life. Not for himself, but for every human that had and will ever live. Jesus was about to pay the penalty, not for his sins, but for our sins and for all of humanity. Even though he is the Son of God on this occasion, it didn't matter much, because he was about to pay the penalty that he had never paid. Not for himself, but for the sins of you, me, and all humans. This would be a new experience for even the Son of God. He was born, and he knew it. He was born into the world to die for humanity. We rose this morning by the grace of God with our health and strength. Perhaps ate, dressed, and came here this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, sir. Knowing by the grace of God, by the grace of God. If he smiled on us, we would come without accident. We would come together in fellowship and sing songs of praise, joyously worshiping him. It is he who has made this occasion. It is he who has blessed us to sing songs praising him. Cost us, in comparison, nothing. But he paid. He did that which he had never done before. Tears running down his cheeks. Meditating upon what was about to happen. What motivated him? His love for his Father and his love for humanity motivated Jesus. That should be our motivation. To love God and to love what he's offering and to love our brothers and sisters. And live a life that will permit us. We enjoy coming together, singing the songs of praise, worshiping our God. We can live a life, and prayerfully we are, that will allow us where we're going. I think you might know that it will allow us to do this forever. Never a worry. Never a problem. And glory line with God our Heavenly Father and our big brother, Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, we enjoy worshiping down here. But sometimes the foot hurts. Sometimes there's a headache. Sometimes you might be having trouble breathing. But up yonder, in the by and by with the Lord, no sickness, no problems. Everything. And every day is howdy, howdy. Praise His holy name. Isn't that wonderful? I know. And when we walk, we don't have to worry about how I put my foot down. Because there's some things on my foot that'll tell me, you put your foot down. Praise God. Oh, church. This was a moment of truth for our Lord and Savior. He was born into the world for this moment, for these moments. And for Jesus, right now, it is a defining moment for Him. Are you going to stay the course? Are you going to stick with the plan? You know why your Father sent you. You're going to remain loyal. That's a question that we can ask ourselves. When we add it to the body of Christ, we can ask ourselves, are you going to stay? Are you going to stay the course? Are you going to be faithful to God? Are you going to be faithful to your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and those who are not? Defining moment. Jesus, are you going to remain true? Are you going to rise to the occasion? He was and is the Son of God. But he had never, of all the centuries he may have lived, he had never had such a defining moment as this. It would also be a defining moment for all of humanity if he fails to do this. We would have no opportunity. If he refused and did nothing, we would still be under the curse and the doom of sin. Not only just under the cover, but we would be hopeless and helpless. No way out. Groping in darkness, groveling in iniquity, and doomed to an eternal hell were it not for what Jesus did. He rises, makes his way a bit further into the Garden of Gethsemane. Again praying. He has a need. He has a need to talk to his Father. When you're really shown up, have a need. Don't make mistakes. Don't make the mistake of not talking it over. The one who is our Father as well. It's wonderful to be able to talk to the Father, especially in challenging times. Jesus was on his way to a bitter course of action. Going to court. But what did he do before he went to court and while he was under this heavy, heavy duty? He prayed to his Father. He's an example for us. Challenging, yes, pray always, but especially when we are faced with dire challenges. Don't walk off from the Lord. Hold on to God's unchanging hands. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Lord, I'm having difficulty. I'm being challenged. But I love you. And I'm holding on to your unchanging hand. Bless me, O God. Jesus, under dire circumstances, he talked to the Father. It's good to have a relationship with the Father. Amen? You miss my inference when I say it's good to have a relationship with the Father. And in order to have a relationship with the Father, we must be what? We must be obedient to his word. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not up and down. No. Make a decision. God or you. By being you, you're going to do what you want to do, or you're going to do what the Father wants you to do. Jesus was in the need to talk to his Heavenly Father. In this, perhaps his darkest hour, he wants to commune with his Heavenly Father. And what an example for us. Always just a little talk with God. Just a little talk with God seems to make it a little bit better to handle. In your Bible, Luke 22, 39 through 44. He came out and went as he was wont, or as he was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives and his disciples. And that's where he is now, and as far as this lesson goes. He's still in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he knew that this is the last hour. I know I can't get a fair trial. This is a task that I must take. Sometimes we have those critical moments. Lord, I've done all I know. I've given all I've got. I need your help. And sometimes we say to God, Lord, I need your big help. Praise God. Jesus went to court. Pontius Pilate. The crowd said, crucify. Crucify. Jesus, what are you thinking? This was a defining moment in court for the Son of God, not the Savior of heaven, but for the Savior of the world and every human being. Are you willing to make this sacrifice? Not for yourself, but for someone else. I should say someone's else. He had already given a great deal. He had already given a great deal. But now, a sacrifice is needed. Lord, what are you going to do? Shameful. Dying. Like a common criminal. But if you do it, it will position your Father to help us and every human being that will ever live to live eternally. Your challenge, terrible as it is, it's only for a short time from the human perspective. And once you die on the cross, you know your Father's going to raise you up in 3 days. But who you are, you're taking on the sins of humanity. forgiveness for them. An avenue of forgiveness. It will position his father. Think about it. If you do it, it will position your father to say to all of humanity, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus did this not only for his father, because his father wanted to help us, but he did it for us as well. Because if he had not done this, gone to the cross, provided us a way of living forever in eternity, we would have no other hope. No other hope of living forever with the Father. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Aren't those words sweet? You've read them betimes, perhaps. All because Jesus went through that suffering death. Not for him, but for us. How do we say thank you? How do we say thank you? Skipping worship? How do we say thank you? Falling out one with another instead of coming together and working it out? How do we say thank you? Are we still on the same page? Yes, sir. God, his heavenly Father, sent an angel from glory. Isn't that something? He didn't have to wait a long time, a week or two. He sent an angel from heaven that day, all the way from glory, to be with his son, his only begotten son. Oh, church. In Luke chapter 23, verse 26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear after Jesus. The part that they put in the ground was already in the ground. He was carrying the crossbar. And there followed him a great company of people and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Jesus, turning to them, says, you don't need to weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. He says, for the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren that don't give life. You'll be better off because the world is so wicked. But when they come to the place, verse 33, when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Jesus and the two malefactors was crucified with Jesus to make him look like he was guilty of some great crime. He is putting his life Not in the hands of the Roman soldiers. Did you get that? He's putting his life in the hands of his Father. They parted his raiment, clothing, and cast lots, gambled as to who would get the pieces. Jesus nailed to the cross, enduring the pain and agony. He did it. He died for you and for me. He put us first. His Father put us first also. He sacrificed for you and for me. He sacrificed for our good. What can we say? Thank God he did it. Thank God, not just with words, but oh church, let us continue to be faithful to him, loyal, dedicated, determined to make our calling and election sure. One of the reasons we want to do that is because I want to do it. With him, to him, face to face, in glory land. Oh, church, won't that be a happy time? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and saving my life. And I'm now here in glory land to live with you forever and forever. Hallelujah. I feel good. Oh, church. Woo! Excuse me. Church, winding up this. Our Lord and Savior, he did go to the grave. He was buried. And he remained buried. For 3 days. But our Bible shares with us. Early! Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
God didn't waste no time, did he? Early! On Sunday morning. He arose. And I think I heard it somewhere. He arose a victor from the grave. Woo! 3 days. The earth couldn't hold him no longer. And the soldiers that they put on guard couldn't stop him. He arose a victor from the dark domain, nevermore to die. A defining moment for Jesus. All over the world, someone talks about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection every Sunday. Ain't that good news? And thank God Almighty, he blessed us to understand and to get to know it and to know the why. Because the why is what blesses us to stand tall, talk tall, look tall, and say thank you, God, for your love. He is revered. His Son is revered. He is worshipped. He is praised. He's glorified. He gave his best. I said it to that side. He gave his best. God and his Son gave their best. God and his Son gave their best. Where you going, preacher? Can we do any less? Can we do any less than to give our best? As a result of his crucifixion, his sacrificial gift. Countless numbers. Countless numbers of lives have already been changed and given the glorious privilege of becoming adopted sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours. I have another page here, but the lesson is yours. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. You say, I heard that before. Well, if you keep coming here, you're going to hear it again. I mean, nothing has ever been done. Nothing compared to that has ever been done. An angel from heaven, Son of God from heaven, coming down and becoming human just for us sinners. How do we say thank you, church? Skipping night church? Skipping Bible class? How do we say thank you? How do you fix your mouth and say, he preached too long? Well, we're talking about where we want to go. We don't know how long they're going to have service up yonder. Because I don't even know if they're going to have 24 hours a day. I think it may be day all the time. We don't know. Lord, here am I. Take me and use me as you see fit. God didn't, I need to send my son because he's the only one capable. But I don't know. I hate to send my son to get it, do all of that and go through all that with those people like down there. I can just wipe them out and create some more. God didn't do that. He put us first, even before his son. The lesson is yours. But I want you to understand, Jesus chose his 12 apostles. Get this real clear. He chose his 12 apostles, trained them for 3 years. And after he trained them for 3 years, he told them before he left, in Acts chapter 1, he says, now I'm going. After Acts chapter 1. Now you all go to Jerusalem and you wait there until my Father sends you the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. You're going to be preaching my gospel. I don't want you making any mistakes. And then he began to ascend on glory. That's you can't even imagine that. Just looking at that sight. Well, they couldn't see him anymore and talk with the men that were there, that would talk with them at the grave, at the place of burial. The apostles went to Jerusalem in a two-story house. There were some people there already. Bible doesn't say how many, but Jesus didn't send them there. He sent the apostles there to wait for the Holy Spirit. And for 10 days, they waited there. And while they were waiting, they chose one of the men to take Judas's place. So now they have 12 apostles now. After 10, on the 10th day, they were waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happened on day number 10. And they began to preach the gospel. It was a Jewish holiday in Jerusalem. So thousands of Jews was in the house. In Jerusalem, to hear the first gospel sermon preached on planet Earth. Motley crowd heard these men, and by the grace of God, they spoke different languages. But as the apostles spoke, when it hit you from Italy, you speak Italian, when it hit your ears, you heard it in your language. You spoke English over here, when it hit your ears, you heard it in your language. Isn't God something? Whoa! They heard them speak. All of the apostles are preaching. But Jesus had given the privilege of preaching the gospel in full to the apostle Peter. And in verse 16 of Acts chapter 2, Peter became the chief spokesman and continued his speech to that motley crowd. And when he got to that point, said to this motley crowd of Jews, he says, that Savior that y'all been looking for years and your grandparents were looking for, he says, that was him. That was him that y'all crucified. They could hardly believe it. They were shocked. Verse 37, Acts 2:37, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's when Peter says, you just pray and ask God to save you. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Peter said, repent. Be godly sorrowful for the sins. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission and for the forgiveness of your sins. And with many other words that he testified and exhort saying. And with many other words that he testified and exhort saying. And with many other words that he testified and exhort saying. Why do you keep repeating that? Well, the preacher spoke to people a long time, so I'm just trying to make it up. Peace. Peace. Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were about 3,000 souls baptized. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Peter continued to preach, folk continued to obey the gospel, and Jesus, the heavenly host, blessed us to have the Bible and the same information that Peter gave the crowd on Pentecost. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Many churches. Jesus established through the preaching of the apostles one church. Heaven established one church. Jesus told the apostles just before he left, preach whatsoever I have commanded. I have commanded. 12 apostles preaching the same gospel. 12 apostles, wherever they preached and people obeyed, they established the same church. Romans chapter 16, read it sometimes. Church here, the church there, every one of them, the church of Christ, by the apostles. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? You don't know where death is. And I'm not trying to scare you to do anything. But you know you're going to die. You know you're going to leave this world. You don't have a guarantee as to when. So you want to be ready. We sing a song, don't we? I want to be ready when Jesus comes. You've heard the gospel. Number two, believe the gospel. Number three, repent of your sins. Number four, acknowledge Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. Number five, to be buried in water baptism. We have made the arrangements. This church has made the necessary arrangement to have the water, the baptizer, and some garments that you can wear that can get wet, and you can leave them here, and we have a washing machine over there to wash them so you don't have to take them home and wash them. We do that. Hear, believe, repent, confess Jesus to be Lord and Savior, and be buried in water baptism. That's in your Bible. That's what Peter answered to that motley crowd on Pentecost. And about 3,000 people obeyed the gospel that day. And when you read two chapters over in the book of Acts, about 5,000 more men on another occasion heard it, believed it, received it, and obeyed it. Since we don't have 5,000, we'll take what God gives us. But God, we will take whoever God sends and do the same thing that they did on Pentecost. Baptize you, that you've heard the gospel. The choice is yours. If you're in the family, you're not walking according to God's will, you've betrayed his trust, Come on home. He still loves you. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ and spend the rest of your days in his service. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come.